We are this morning going back into the fifth chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. And we are, as we were before the Advent season rolled in, we were talking about the Sermon on the Mount. We'd been talking about the section of that sermon, the beginning of that sermon called the Beatitudes. And so today we're going to kind of review a little, kind of bring us back up to speed. There are eight of these Beatitudes. And this really flows in very nicely following Christmas, because when we look at why God sent Jesus into this world as a person, we know that Jesus came to eventually go to the cross, right, and be the means of our salvation. But another thing that Jesus accomplished while he was here was showing us how to live as people, showing us how to act, how to talk. And in the Sermon on the Mount, he gives us very specific instructions on how to do just that. He tells us how to live like him, how to be like him. It's the most important lesson we can learn. I've been reading and studying and reading books about this for the last few months. And this thing, you know, we hear certain things if we've been in church a long time. You hear that term Sermon on the Mount, or you hear that term Beatitudes, and they just kind of roll through as church language. But this has taken on a new life with me. This is the very essence of a disciple's life. This is the very essence of the Christian life. This is Jesus' very instructions on how to live, on how to be, on how to act, on what to do and what not to do. And these aren't options. These are the directions given to us by our Savior. So today I'm going to recap the first four of the eight Beatitudes. Next week we had done seven. Next week we'll do the fifth, sixth, and seventh, and then the final one. The setting again is now when he saw the crowds, he went up on the mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." This setting, Jesus with his followers, a large crowd following him, and he went up on the mountainside and sat down, and those who were trying to learn came and sat next to him. And you may remember that I said this was the position of a rabbi, the position of a teacher when teaching, was to sit down, and those who were there to learn would gather around him. And so he begins this, what probably took a few days to teach. And he's going to go into all sorts of things that will reflect back to the law. Again, things on how to live. But he begins with these eight objects, these eight items. And the first four could almost be called the salvation Beatitudes. These are the ones that kind of get us in to the kingdom. And then the next four are the ones that are getting us out into the world. So Jesus starts off by saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." What does it mean to be poor? Well, the word poor here means completely and utterly poor, with nothing. It doesn't mean, you know, don't have any spare change on me. You know, it doesn't mean that my portfolio took a little dip this week. It means having nothing. I was visiting with some friends this week, and one of them had to go to the car dealership to get his passenger's seat heater fixed. And he kind of laughed and said, "Yeah, this is a first world problem. You know, people in impoverished parts of the country aren't worried about the heaters in the seats of their cars, right?" Nothing wrong with getting that fixed, but I'm saying it is something, a different perspective. And we know what it means to be poor in pocket, right? We know what that means, to not have anything. But just to define it a little bit, this means to not have anything that it takes to live. or any means to trade for the things that you need to live. So basically, it means you have no food, clothing, or shelter, or the means to purchase them. You have nothing. To be poor, like this is saying here, means to have absolutely nothing. But Jesus isn't talking about food, clothing, and shelter here. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit. But he means the same thing. It means that without him, we do not have what it takes to live. We do not have what it takes spiritually to live, what it takes to live eternally. And we don't have anything worth trading to get that life. We are completely and utterly bankrupt without Jesus. And all these are connected. That's very important. These are not just a collection of wise sayings that Jesus put out. We have to go from poor in spirit to blessed are those who mourn. And again, this is talking about a spiritual sense. It is true that when we've lost someone, when we're mourning over a death of someone that we love, that God does send His Holy Spirit to be our comforter. There is truth in that. But in this sense here, Jesus is talking about those who mourn because we understand our spiritual poverty. We're mourning because we see that in our sin, we are completely and utterly separated from a holy and almighty God. That we don't have what it takes to get across that chasm that sin has created. We are without Him. And there's nothing we can do to get to Him. We are spiritually poor, spiritually bankrupt. And that should drive us to our knees. Blessed are the meek. And again, we have to remember that this is from a spiritual sense. This is not meekness between people. Sometimes this takes us to meekness between people. But this is a meekness toward God. Remember, these are the instructions to be like Jesus. So if we look at the life of Jesus, do we say that Jesus lived the life that was meek in the flesh? Well, sometimes. When he knelt and washed the disciples' feet, that was a moment of humility. He was teaching humility. And it was a moment of meekness. But remember, this is the same Jesus that turned over the tables in the temple, that made a whip and drove out the money changers. In the flesh, we would not call that a moment of meekness. But it is the meekness before His Father that brought Him into both of those circumstances. It is that submission to God, that meekness before God that says, I will go and say and do whatever You tell me to. Wherever You send me, I will go, which is what brought Jesus to this earth. Whatever You tell me to say, I will say. And whatever You tell me to do, I will do. And in some moments, that was kneeling and washing the feet of His followers. And in another moment, it was turning over the tables in the temple. And in another moment, it was standing as a completely and utterly innocent man, being accused, being found guilty. When He could have called 10,000 angels, He walked beaten and bruised to Calvary. That was a moment of strength. That was not a moment of weakness or meekness except before God. That in the flesh was a moment of strength because He could have gotten out of it. Remember, there was another time earlier in Scripture when a crowd took Jesus to throw Him off a cliff and He simply walked away. He had the power and the authority to do as He wished, but what He wished most was to honor the will of His Father. And to be like Him is to be meek like that before God. It is to be sometimes meek in the flesh, sometimes to show nothing but humility to be servants, and sometimes to stand up for the name of Jesus. But never doing either one out of our own desires. But doing either or anything in between because we are completely and utterly submitted to God. So if it's time to stand up and rally the troops for the name of Jesus, then do it if God's calling you to. But there's a point we're going to get to next week about being persecuted. There's times that taking up your cross and following Jesus means taking it on the chin. So someone that finds themselves spiritually impoverished and they fall to their knees mourning over their spiritual state and then see that there's a God there who loves them and they submit themselves to God. And we begin to hunger and thirst for Christ. The verse says, hunger, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. But Christ is our righteousness. This is not just to want a little bit of it. It's not to dip our toe in the water of Christianity. It is to want to understand that the only way we can live, the only thing that will fill us, the only thing that will hydrate us spiritually and allow us to move and give us strength to move like food and water do for our bodies is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That is the only thing that lets us move with strength in this world. And we want to hunger and thirst for that. And these things lead us one to another. Again, it's that understanding of who we are spiritually, understanding of where we are not. And then submitting ourselves to the God who wants to bring us to Him. And starving and thirsting for the righteousness that He offers. And in those moments, and we all have them, when we're not the righteous people we should be, then those moments should be like we've gone a great deal of time without eating or drinking. We should want to be filled with the goodness of God. Jesus teaching us to be like Jesus. And it begins with us entering in, understanding who we are. And if we do these things, He says, we are blessed. We are blessed. And that word means something with such incredible power. And we talk about blessings in this world, and you know, there's truth to that. Think good things happen to us, and we are blessed by God. Every good and perfect gift is from God, right? Scripture tells us that as well. But this word and this manner in which Jesus was speaking here was carrying such weight and authority. We think of the Old Testament prophets who had oracles of woe and oracles of weal. W-E-A-L. I wasn't saying W-I-L-L with a funny accent. Okay, oracles of woe. And it was, destruction is coming. Woe to you. Destruction is coming. And then the others were, blessed are those. And when they ended those things, thousands of times they said, thus saith the Lord. Because they were the prophets speaking the words God gave them to speak. But these are the words from the mouth of God Himself. He did not have to end these sayings with, thus saith the Lord, because it was the Lord Himself that was speaking. This blessing. There are translations that use the word happy, and there are good things about some of those translations, but that word happiness is just shallow compared to the word blessing that comes from the lips of Christ. Happiness we connect with our circumstances and our surroundings. Blessings come from the throne room of heaven. And this is what Jesus is saying. yours will be the kingdom of God. You will be comforted. You will inherit the earth, and you will be filled. When you realize who you are, it's like the light coming on. And you can see that which God is offering to you. We're going to go shortly in a couple of weeks to being salt and light, right? We're going to talk about being light for others. But what first has to happen is we have to get the light ourselves. We have to see what God's offering to us. And He's offering us the kingdom. He's offering us the world. But we have to understand who we are without Him before we can appreciate who we are with Him. We have to be willing to let go of some of the junk of this world to get a hold with both hands of the goodness that God's offering us. You've probably heard me tell this before, but I love this. Seen these videos of them trapping monkeys with a jar with a wide bottom and a narrow neck, and they put marbles in the bottom. And the monkey puts his hand down in and gets a fistful, and he can't get his hand out. And he will be carried away by his captors rather than let go of those marbles. So many in this world are carried away because they got a fistful of junk that they won't let go of. And we get carried away. But the answer is here. God Himself wanting to bless us for simply recognizing the good that He wants to give us. God wants to bless us for simply recognizing the good that He wants to give us. Old saying that the best definition of evangelism is one starving person telling another starving person where they found a free meal. It's not of our own, but it is of God, and it is available to us if we will recognize who we are. And the God of the universe wants to bless us. Hard to stop at that point, but the next week it will go well together. But again, these are the things that bring us into the kingdom of God. And the next four, if you want to read those for next week, are the things that send us out into the world to show mercy, to be pure, to bring peace, and to receive what the world gives back, which is persecution. But church, there's a storeroom of blessing in heaven that God wants to bestow upon each one of us if we'll recognize who we are without Jesus. Those of us who have been believers for a number of years should occasionally take moments and sit and reflect on who we would be and where we would be right now without Him in our lives. We should take a moment now and then and reflect on that. And man, that should propel us out into this world to share the good news with those who don't yet realize who they are without Jesus. Amen.